The Lord Jesus Christ said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." These are the words of life, the words spoken by the Son of God. Listen to these words from Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, the same age as Genesis. He said, "In God's hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." In Ecclesiastes, we are told, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to mourn." The oldest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 90. It was written by Moses, and he wrote these things under the inspiration of God. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for they are soon cut off, and we fly away. So," he said, "teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. It is better to go into the house of mourning than the house of feasting, for this is the end of all flesh." The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, spoke so many things that gave hope and purpose and meaning to life. And he said these profound words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If any man said that, you would say, that's the height of arrogance. That's the height of a preposterous statement. And yet, he could say it because of the authority he spoke with as being the Son of God. Friends, we welcome you here today to this memorial service for our sister Karen Reischke. And please, on behalf of the entire family, we welcome you. Thank you for coming. We know that many of you were there at the graveside not long ago. It was a soggy time, a difficult time in many ways, but it really set the tone for the situation that finds ourselves at that time, having to put someone to rest in the ground. As all of us, made of the elements of this earth, these bodies are just houses, and one day the house will go. But the Spirit, who we are, lives on, and it will continue. And so we must make preparation for that which is lasting. We must think about that in all of our dealings. We welcome you today, and I want to say on behalf of our own congregation here in the church, our deepest condolences and our love and prayers for Brother Dieter and for Sylvia, and also for Rita. And our prayers are for the entire family. And many of you, I don't know you and you don't know me, we're meeting here for the first time. But I can tell you that our heart's love for the Reischke family and the years we have known them, and especially by God's providence that brought our paths back again from the month of June just until now, it has been special, love the Lord, And we are so thankful that we had an opportunity to be a part of the family in the time of their grieving, in the time of their difficulty. And we pray that God's blessing would continue to follow them, because I'll tell you, it's hard to follow someone when they're sick, to the point in the hospital, convalescing, to the point of their death, and then. But yes, friend, then is what follows after. And these times are not easy either. In the days and months that are ahead, please keep in contact with them. Don't just forget and let people go. Pick up the phone, send them an email, a text, let them know you're thinking about them. This is very, very important in these times. And so we are thankful for your attendance here today. And we hope that you will stay behind after our service in the basement. We have a lot of food prepared. The ladies have done that from the church, and they want to show hospitality to you. So I hope you'll stay behind. There is enough for everyone and plenty, and an opportunity just to chat with the family and have some time. Please, would you bow with me in prayer? Our loving Father, we bow in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ today, who is our Lord and Savior. And it is through him that we are gathered. It is because of him that we find ourselves today, yes, with sorrow, but mixed with joy, because we know that our dear sister Karen is in the presence of her living Savior today. Lord, I pray that we would be very conscious of your presence with us. We would know, Father, the Spirit of God drawing near. Take away all the busyness of life. Take away the responsibilities of work and all those other things that would distract us. And help us, Lord, just to focus now for this brief time. Lord, come and sit beside each one in the pew. Come and give help to each one who will bring reflections and thoughts and rejoicing and thanksgiving. And Lord, bless the word as it is brought to challenge the hearts of each one today. But most of all, Lord, we pray for comfort upon the family. Be with them. Lord, in the hour and the time of their tears and their grief and the many memories that flood into the heart at a time like this, many happy memories, many times of great rejoicing. Well, let that be the case today, Lord, and temper our sadness with the blessing of thy holy presence with us. Lord, hear our prayers now. Continue to be with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I would also let you know, and it might be helpful for people who are not able to be today, but maybe at a distance, far off. Our service is being recorded now, and it will be uploaded to our website, and so that anyone of your relatives can be able to view that. It'll be uploaded hopefully later on tonight. And so if you were to tell them to go to Sermon Audio, simply those two words together at all strings, sermonaudio.com/Toronto. We'll bring you directly to our church site, and then you're able to download and watch the video or listen to the audio of the service if you choose to do so. So just letting you know that for later on. Now we're going to have some memories of the life of Karen, and it will be by Anita, Karen's sister-in-law. Anita, would you come?
Karen, my sister-in-law, my best friend, and my sister of the heart. I stand here today lost and sad to be without you. It just seems so unreal not to have you around. The first time we met was on your arrival in Canada from Germany in 1969 with your husband Dieter and your young daughter Sylvia. You followed your three brothers, Reinhard, Eddie, and Bernie to this country. Your mother joined you all later. And you began to make a new life for yourself. And you did make a new life. In 1971, your daughter Rita joined your family and you were complete. Your life was a fulfilled one for the most times. And when you became a born-again Christian and found your strength and serenity in Jesus Christ, it became a strong and devout. Relationship for the rest of your life. In 1989, you and Dieter, in the hope of retiring there, maybe, built a country home up north. And I mean you and Dieter. As soon as you cleared a lot of unwanted trees, you two built the place from the bottom up. Every wall, boards, floors, cathedral cedar ceiling, large storage garage, walkway around the house, landscaping, gazebo, deck. To see it and to realize that two people did most of the work together is mind-boggling. And between your house in Scarborough, the house up north, and the raising of two girls, the Reischkes were busy and there were fulfilled years. You, Karin, were a kind person. You treasured your friendships, stayed in touch with all of them, here in Canada and in Germany. You were a gentle person, loved animals in all kinds of shapes and colors, loved your garden, flowers, your vegetables. Helpful, always. There when you were needed, and loved helping when you could. Your talent showed in your many, many needlework quiltings, your garden, your many, many books and albums, handwritten and filled with your deepest thoughts, both in English and in German. You would sometimes read them for me. They are much more than just diary of someone. They're a testament to your talent for writing. Karin. Karin's devotion to Jesus Christ sustained her throughout her life, and at the end of her life gave her the strength and the tranquility she wanted and she received. To her beloved family, husband Dieter, daughter Sylvia, daughter Rita, and her beloved grandson Julian, she will be so missed and will forever stay in their hearts, including Zoe, Mike, Miko, and Murray. As for Ron and me and all her friends, she will be dearly, dearly missed and will always live in our memory and in our hearts. I will always love you. I have a German poem here that I would like to read, which I think is appropriate. And I've translated it. Ich hab den Berg erklommen, der euch noch Mühe macht. Der Herr hat mich genommen, ihr Lieben, gute Nacht. And in English, approximately, it says, I have finally climbed the mountain that still will exert you, that still will exert you. The Lord has taken me, my loved ones. Good night. Dieter. Karin. Ute. Dieter.
Thank you, Anita, for bringing those reflections. We're going to turn to our bulletin now and the first song the family has chosen to sing. I've got peace like a river. Let's stand, please, as we sing this. You'll find the words on the back of your program.
Peace like a river, I've got peace like a river.
going to ask Todd McQueen, a longtime friend, to now please come and give some reflections.
I'm Todd McQueen, my wife Verna. We had the privilege of knowing Dieter and Karen when they moved into the property beside ours at the cottage. They have always been warm, close friends that have meant so much to us. Karen was always such a special person who was very knowledgeable in her love for God and in medicine and in beauty. She always embraced and did such a wonderful job of expressing God's beauty in flowers and in scenery and in nature. She loved it so much. Even as we look at the pictures in our bulletins, as a reminder of how much she loved and did a beautiful job of expressing it. Also in her crafts and the ways that she reached out to us, she always cared for us and our family and always made us very warm and comfortable. It's been a great joy to know her family and to have that privilege of going to the cottage, knowing the greatest joy of being there with them as friends. It was always a part of looking forward to.
Todd's a bit more spontaneous than I am. I had to write my notes, so. Anyway, my name is Verna McQueen, and I speak not only for myself and for Todd, but for our three grown children, Melissa, Jared, and Greg. I'm privileged to be given the opportunity to share with you some of our precious memories of Karen Reischke while honoring her life. Karen was very dear to our family. We met both Dieter and Karen, as mentioned before, years ago, as they were our next door neighbors at our seasonal cottage properties outside Muskoka. They accepted us with a deep friendship that has lasted for decades. As one of our grown sons just said last week, Karen and Dieter have always held a place in my life as the couple I've felt as fondly towards as if they were my grandparents. Our tradition of going up to the cottage always included visiting with Dieter and Karen on each visit. For those trips, we were not there at the same time. It felt very strange not to be with them. Karen and I would call one another to plan our dates as to when we were going up so we would not miss one another. As time went on, our friendship grew and we visited one another from our homes, theirs in Scarborough and ours in Hamilton, and we attended various birthday celebrations with them, even a couple of visits to the brunch at the King Edward Hotel, which is where this picture was. Beautiful place, beautiful friends. Our fate as friends for life was sealed as we held a mutual central value in life, that being a shared faith in Christ. Karen loved God with all her heart, soul, and mind. She demonstrated God's heart to us that made us feel special and valued. Karen and I prayed together, we laughed together, we cried together. She had a gift of faith as high as a mountain and as deep as a spring-fed well, and she always drew upon that faith. She was an inspiration, at the least. And as many of you know, Karen had an immense sense of caring and compassion with others. She was very kind and always put others before herself. She was selfless, and it showed in so many decisions she made in life, both big and small. Whether such generosity was seen through the beautifully intricate embroidery work or hand-quilted wall hangings she made for others, to helping me decorate our cottage, she was so very, very giving. It just poured out of her. In fact, it was Karen's first visit to our cottage that our young son was ill, and she promptly returned back to our place with some chamomile tea to settle his stomach. You know, Karen, as we all know, radiated absolute beauty in her life. Her appreciation for the aesthetic, whether it was seen through her impeccable care and display of garden flowers, or through the cards that she made with her photos, as we have in the bulletin. She contributed to a life of peace and harmony in the beautiful surroundings that she created. Karen was a natural teacher, willingly sharing her insights. We would often sit together in her living room cottage next to her puzzles that she always had on the go, talking for hours about all kinds of things. She always had an answer to my inquiry. I'm a person who asks a lot of questions, and she had a lot of answers. And whether it was a natural remedy or one of a spiritual nature that required some research, and she was so thorough in doing so, and I really looked up to her as a wise sister. Karen had a gentle spirit about her. Even her pets noticed. She poured so much love into them. They sensed her caring, sensitive, and calming nature. I remember when being alone at our cottage for the week, she cared enough for me that when she and Dieter left for home without telling me, she made arrangements to have her sister-in-law, Doris, drop in each morning to make sure I had survived the night. I was afraid of the dark and the woods and being out there alone. It had been a long time since Karen and I had a cottage slumber party. So recently we were talking and decided it would be great if I could come to her place in Scarborough and sleep overnight. And I suggested perhaps Todd and Dieter could go leave for the weekend, go chop wood at the cottage so I could share some time, we could share some time alone. Well, it didn't turn out quite that way, but we were both determined to still have our slumber party. So November 14th, almost 2 weeks ago, after a day's visit, I later unpacked my bags and got ready for bed, joining Karen in her private hospital room. The lounge bed chair was set up right beside Karen, and we could converse with one another. And Dieter and Todd left the hospital room at about 11:30 that night, Saturday night. And Karen continued talking with me for another hour. She just talked. It was wonderful, and I was so grateful to have had that special time with her. And as you know, every slumber party has some sort of pillow involved, a pillow fight or a pillow talk, so we had the latter. Along with expressing her infinite love for God and sharing her friendship with me, even then, Karen continued to show her strength of focus and intentionality. Such was the case when she made it known to me that she wanted a particular pillow. So the hunt was on, and Karen examined about five pillows, carefully feeling the edges to see if it was the pillow, and nodded, no. Okay, here, Karen, this one, no. And this went on five times. Then her fingers felt the edges of the last pillow, which I believe was an obus form, probably German pillow, that she lay on with a smile. She just went, oh, beautiful. I'll never forget it. And she sunk her head into it even more. It was a really precious moment of seeing Karen delight in the small things in life in such difficult circumstances. And that truly is something she gave us and she gives us today, is a life lesson that we can learn from her, and that is to appreciate the seemingly small things in life every day. So how does one say goodbye? It was just never said. In fact, Karen reassured me, I'll see you again, Verna. I'll just be there sooner than you. You know, Karen lives on in a world unknown to us, but one in which she dedicated her entire earthly life, as seen through her character and her actions, awaiting a very special homecoming in the heavenlies to meet her heavenly Father, the lover of her soul. And it was Sunday, November 15, as she reassuringly looked at me with her beautiful crystal blue eyes, with her gentle smile and her soft voice, and she said, "It is a beautiful thing that I will dance with the Lord." We can be reassured and comforted with those words, knowing Karen is now at peace in everlasting joy. And today is truly a celebration of her life well lived. We love you, Karen.
Just one last thing I'd like to say about Karen is that when we got there on that weekend that we spent with her in the hospital, she really showed her love for God in a way that she was struggling with. Things that still had to be done. And I think there'll be time we'll all get to that point where we think, it's closing in fast, it's coming to the end. What did I not do? What sort of things did I want to do to please God and to serve Him what better? But there was a beautiful transition through that weekend where she was able to put it best, that God was calling her home, that He was well pleased with what she had done, and that this was a time of celebration, that her life was lived, and God was calling her home, and that she had done all that she could, and she did it very well. She had such a love for God, and it was beautiful to see her to cross over into that place of joy and peace of knowing that she was going home for the greatest celebration of life. Karen was a great Christian with a great love for God. Thank you.
These are precious opportunities to share the heart on things that are so meaningful to people. We're going to be singing a hymn now that is on your sheet called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Listen for just a moment. The background to this hymn is very important because when people go through trials in life and times of grief and disappointment, sometimes they turn to drink, sometimes to drugs, sometimes to other things to take the pain away. But here is an example of a man who turned unto the Lord and found that there was a friend to him closer than anyone else. Joseph Scriven was the man who wrote this hymn. He was from Northern Ireland, lived in a place called Banbridge. He was engaged to be married, and 2 weeks before he was to be married, his fiancée was riding on a horse, and the horse stumbled. It was by a river, and she fell from the horse, struck her head on a stone in the river, and drowned. He was there shortly after and saw her, the woman he loved and was looking to spend the rest of his life with, but dashed away from him. Some time passed, and he decided to emigrate to Ontario, and he moved to Port Hope. And he became a tutor to a family living a bit north of Port Hope. And he met the daughter of that family. Her name was Eliza. And so they were engaged to be married. Eliza had come to faith in Christ as well, and she was baptized. She was baptized in the month of April. The ice had just come off Rice Lake. It was very cold. And what happened again, a very short time before they were to be married, she took a pneumonia and she died. This man, after having two marriages taken from him, you know, he sat down and he penned these words: What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing these two verses.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Mr. Raymond Conroy is going to come and bring the eulogy now. He's been a longtime friend of the family.
That hymn we just sung brings back memories. Because dear Karen, when she was in the hospital on one of her visits, we were able to sing that hymn with Karen. And she understood the words and she had a smile on her face as we were singing. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And dear family members, dear Dieter and Sylvia and Rita and Julian and friends and family this morning, it's a privilege for me to be up here just to say a few words of tribute to dear Karen. And, you know, I was just asked yesterday how long we had known the family by Dr. Saunders. And I said, probably about 20 years. Wrong. I knew them through Dieter's brother, Helmut. We used to work together at Ontario Science Center. And coincidentally, Karen's birth date and my birth date are on the same date. And way back in 1986, we had got together. And so it's way over 30 years since I've known the family. And throughout the years, we've had numerous occasions when we've got together. And so I just want to bring a little tribute to Karen today. The first thing I'd like to say about Karen, it's already been mentioned that she's a born-again Christian. And she had put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that gave her the strength to face cancer courageously and valiantly. She had that peace about her. It was just amazing to see when we visited in the hospital because she had made preparation for that day. And so she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ on his death on the cross, where he shed his precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. And you know something? It didn't end on the cross, because on the third day, triumphantly, gloriously, he conquered death and hell, rose from the grave, and he's alive forevermore. And for the believer this morning, that gives us hope. That's what gave Karen hope, because the tomb is not the end for the believer. The grave is not the end for Karen. It's just the beginning. Because her soul is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Death is real. And we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to make funeral arrangements or go to buy a plot for our death because it's something we kind of put it behind us. But death is real. And it's not just for older people. Babies die. Elderly people die. And everybody in between. Death is on our trail, as it were. The Bible calls death the last enemy. And it says that death ultimately will be destroyed. But you know, we can face these things with the faith that Karen had in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can face it and know that when that day comes for us, that we can face it triumphantly because we know it's not the end of the road for us. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring us life, eternal life, abundant life, and he conquered death, and he lives in the power of an endless life. You know, your soul is precious to God today, and Karen's soul is precious to God. In Psalm 116 and verse 15, it says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You see, when Karen became a Christian, God gave her a new name. You know, the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we come to faith in Christ, he moves us from sinnerhood into sainthood. You know, we don't have to be dead for 500 years in some religious body or authority is going to declare us saints. In God's eyes and in God's sight, we're saints of the Most High God. Now, perhaps sometimes we don't act like saints, but in God's eyes, we are saints of the Most High God. Karen was born in Prussia on July the 10th, 1944. I believe she is the youngest of four siblings, three older brothers. She was a premature baby. She was a fighter. And after only 2 months, when she was 2 months old, her mother moved the family to the West. She was a very creative child. As an adult, she became a dressmaker and a designer. She met her husband, or Dieter, who later became her husband in 1963, and they moved to Canada, I believe, in 1969. Now, Karen was raised a Catholic, but she also had an intense interest in history, in Egyptian history. She also spent a lot of time at the Royal Ontario Museum looking into these things, Egyptian history and the artifacts and so on. And Sylvia remembers as a little girl, some days her mother would say, Sylvia, you can take the day off school today. We're going down to the ROM. And we're going to look at all these different artifacts and Egyptian history and so on. So Sylvia got some time off of school and able to spend some time with her mom and learning these things, these historical things. Karen was extremely skilled, as already been mentioned, at needlework and quilting. She made the burning bush. I don't know if you noticed it, just outside the door up above, the quilt with the burning bush there, that scene, and also I believe Sylvia did the stained glass window here with her mom as well. And so extremely talented and had a real gift of creativity. And she'd already started to make a new burning bush quilt, but due to her illness, and she was unable to finish that, but it's going to be donated to the church, and I believe maybe someone else will work on it and complete that. Her family says Karen was a perfectionist, especially in the creative realm with Petit Point photography, and you were handed the schedule of events here today with a picture inside that Karen had taken, and just beautiful photography that she had done, calligraphy, you know, just amazing, and baking Christmas cookies and different varieties and so on. So whatever she put her hand to, she was very perfect, had to be perfect, you know, and so on. Also, when Rita and Sylvia were little, she made sewed Barbie doll clothes for their Barbie dolls. And that's something that, you know, little girls like even today, they like the Barbie dolls, and you can pass those little clothes and so on to grandchildren and so on. And she was also able to fix an electronic toy that belonged to her grandson, Julian. And this really amazed me that he'd left it out in the rain, you know, just forgot it out in the rain, and it wasn't working. So lo and behold, he brought it to Grandma, and she was able to fix it, to get it working. And so that was the type of mind she had. She had a real gift of creativity. The family said, or Sylvia said, that she designed and Dieter produced. And so it's a talented family. If you're staying to go downstairs, there's some of Karen's work, and no doubt many of you have seen her, the type of work she does, it's on display downstairs. She also had a love for animals, that's been mentioned as well. But you know, it was her interest in Egyptian history that led Karen on a search for the true and living God. She realized that, you know, the Egyptians had all these different gods, but there must be a one God. And so that led her on a search. And it was a friend, Peter Moeller, who invited Karen to go to a charismatic evangelistic meeting, gospel meeting, where she got saved in 1976. She heard the truth of the gospel, and she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was also involved with another Christian group, 100 Huntley Street, for a while. And they said that Karen was a great listener. You know, if you had a problem, you could go to Karen, and she would listen. You know, sometimes it's hard to listen, but she had that gift that she could listen to a person's problem and give them advice. And so she was on the phones. People would call in. It was a suicide line. People, maybe young people contemplating suicide, you know. Lo and behold, they get Karen on the phone, and she could listen to that person and give them encouragement and ministry from the Word of God. The Word of God. That's all that we need today, is the Word of God. When we look around this, the secular world that we live in, life is fast. And all we hear today is, are you preparing for retirement? Have you got your RSPs lined up? But you know, Amos, God's prophet, says, prepare to meet thy God. That's the most important thing that you can do today, is prepare, make preparation, because life is fleeting. We've already heard from Psalm 90, 70 and perhaps 10 more years. You know, when I look back and looked at the date in that book, 1986, I said, wow, it's over 30 years. Where did the time go? I've got a 20-year-old granddaughter and so on. Life is fast. We need to slow down and make time for God. And so she was a counselor and a great listener. She was also very generous to her friends. And if there was a need somewhere, Karen was there, whether it be a practical need or a financial need, she was there to provide help if someone had a need and she heard about it, especially to her friends. But when she came through the doors of this church here with Dieter, her Christian teaching took off. She was in Dr. McClellan's class and with Dr. Oatley Willis teaching the Word of God, teaching from the Word of God. And that was the most important thing to Karen, was to hear that good teaching from the Word of God. And it said that was, she said that was, she felt that was her biggest accomplishment as she grew in her faith. From a baby Christian, as she matured in the faith under the sound of the Word of God. She also appreciated Dr. Oatley Willis and his dear wife were very kind and very dear to her, and she loved being their student. Karen was an avid reader of not only the Bible, but also Christian books. She has a vast library, over 300 books, which will be donated to the church library here. You know, we will miss Karen. And Dieter will miss his loving wife. And Sylvia and Rita will miss their loving mom. And Julian will miss his grandmom, who fixed his Game Boy so many years ago. But you know, the Apostle James, in his book, the book of James, says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so I would like to encourage you today to think about, what is your life? Perhaps you're a young person here today and you think, well, I've got the rest of my life to think about spiritual matters. Well, you know, the scripture says, boast not of thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Your life, James says, is like a vapor, like the kettle boiling, as the steam dissipates, and it vanisheth away. And so I would urge you to consider these spiritual truths. You know, considering all of Karen's accomplishments and all of her creativity, and all of the things that she was involved in, the petit point and her artistry and the quilting, but you know, Karen's highest achievement was to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, dear ones, this morning, death is real. And death, in its ultimate sense, is separation from God for all eternity. But for the Christian, for the born-again Christian, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be separated from God. Because when we leave this scene, we're with the Lord for all eternity. No beginning, no ending. We can't, our finite minds can't take it in, eternity. The scripture says, where will you spend eternity? And you know, for Dieter, the ones left behind, his loving wife gone, for the Christian, we have hope because we'll see that loved one again in a coming day. We'll be with Christ and we'll be with that loved one. We'll see them and we'll be with them again. They'll be united again in that coming day. That gives us hope. And so we commend the life of Karen Reischke to thee today. And we'd ask you to continue to pray for the family. Because after today is over, they'll need our support in prayer and so on to get them through this difficult time. Thank you so much for listening, and we commend the life of Karen Monica Reischke to you.
Thank you, Ray, for those words today as well. An opportunity now for anyone in the audience who would like to just say a brief comment, a brief word. And while you're thinking about that, Dr. and Mrs. McClelland, Frank and May, they are on some holidays in Florida just now. You've heard their name mentioned a couple of times because of the influence that preaching of the founding pastor of this church had upon their life. And he has sent a note I'd like to read out for the family and for everyone today. My wife and I were deeply saddened to hear of Karen's passing. We had prayed and hoped that her surgery would be successful, but the Lord had better things for her today. And our grief is assuaged by the knowledge that she is with the Lord, whom she loved and served. She is now in that heavenly land where tears, pain, and fear are forever gone. We in this congregation appreciate the contribution she and her family made at the time of the building of the church. Karen was instrumental with her daughter Sylvia in making the beautiful stained glass burning bush you can see above the pulpit wall. She was also fascinated by the Latin inscription, Ardens sed virens, burning but living, and made a lovely banner of that also in the entrance of the hall. On a personal note, Karen made me a beautiful framed needlepoint of Hebrews 10:6, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. This greatly encouraged me, and it was a great truth to be reminded of in difficult days of life. At the onset of her illness, I was happy to remind her of that verse that she gave me so many years ago. We are very sorry that we cannot be at this memorial service today, as we are many miles away. But to Dieter and his family, we extend our heartfelt sympathy and assure them of our continued prayers on their behalf. Though separated by distance, we are very much with you in sorrow. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. Is there anyone else now who would like to say a comment, something about Karen? Well, dear friends, I am sure that in the fellowship time afterward, you will be able to speak and express those concerns, those thoughts you already have done, maybe, but you could add to that after as well. I won't keep you long, but I want to bring you a message from the Word of God. And it is really from Psalm 90 and the opening verse. I can read it for you. The words that Moses spoke. He said, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. When Karen was in the hospital, I had the opportunity and the privilege of spending a short time. And in her weakness, the difficulty of speaking, and yet the Word of God brought great comfort to her in the time of her distress. And I was alone with her for some time. The family just excused themselves, and we had times of prayer. And I was just singing to her a couple of the well-known hymns that she loved so well. And you know, when those words of the hymns that were so meaningful to her, when she heard them, a smile came to her face, and the stress or distress seemed to just go away from her. And Dieter was telling me that in the final moments of her time in the hospital, when she was near death, it seemed that the wrinkles and the worries and the lines of pain, they all had dissipated from her face. And she was as the face of an angel. And it was only a few moments that she was in the presence of the Lord. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. The oldest psalm written by Moses, the man of God. And I would say that many have stood around the grave and they have repeated those words. And what are they but words of comfort to those who are Christians and believers, and I think to the pressing upon everyone to think about eternity. I did not know what Brother Ray was going to say today, but he's emphasized that point, which I think is worthy of our thought. Eternity. It's rather a long time. We know that it has no end. Eternity. Some people imagine in their minds, well, how could I describe it? And we come up with some lame illustrations. They're not very good. But I've often thought when I was a kid driving in a car with mom and dad and maybe through a mountainous area, and the road is undulating and it's curving. And so you just come and you look up in the crest of a big hill and think, will this be the last hill that we have to cross before we get to our destination? Like as kids say, are we there yet? And so you get to the top of the hill and it seems that the road is just continuing on. You can't see the end of it. The pavement goes for miles and miles. And in a very simple way, a very limited way, eternity is that which we think we might be coming to the end of, but we will never come to the end. It continues on and on and on. Years ago, I was driving in Europe on a country road, and I came across what struck me as a rather unusual set of signs. Each sign contained only one word, and they were about 1,000 meters apart. And so as I'm driving down, the first word was where. 1,000 meters, the next one, where will. Next, you spend eternity. And that question and that thought has stuck with me, and it is a very important question. Some people think it's only a religious question, and I'm not really interested. Others say it's kind of philosophical, and I don't go down that road too often. But you know, friend, this is more than that. And I say to you today, it's a heart-searching question that must be considered by every thinking person. Eternity, the soul, the life, the meaning of life itself. What is this existence all about? Is there really a God that I have to be concerned of? If there is a God, does he have any purpose for my life, or am I just wandering aimlessly through a series of mornings, afternoons, evenings, trials of life going on, and when I get to the end, I die, go to the grave, and it's all over. I die like a dog, and it's the end. That's what evolution teaches. That's what the humanist believes. Ah, but my friend, the scriptures have another answer. The Bible does not argue for the existence of God. Have you ever thought of that? The Bible does not try to prove that God is. It simply declares that he is. Ah, but it goes a bit farther. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And there is in the Word of God, in Psalm 90, Moses, he knew something of God that amazes me. He knew something of his attributes, of his character, of his dealings with men. And he tells us also about the brevity of life. We've already heard about a vapor. Well, Moses said, our life is like 70 years. And if by reason of some medical blessings, some good health, maybe it's 80 years old, maybe it's a bit longer. But when you think about eternity and the length of time we're talking about, what is a life on earth but a snap of your finger and it's gone, it's over. The brevity of life. Friends, these things are important to think about. And Moses said, Lord, thou hast been my dwelling place, our dwelling place for all generations. What do I learn from that today? I learn, my friends, that God is my home. The living God is my home, the immortal one, the uncreated God who made the heavens and the earth. The scripture tells me that he is my home. You know, there's a large difference between a hotel and a home. A hotel is transient, so temporary. A hotel you go to for a night, two, a week, maybe a month, if you're going on long holidays. But a hotel is not home. When we come to home, what do we think about? We come in through the doors of our home. It's our dwelling place. We close the door and we say, a little sigh maybe, not openly, but maybe in the heart, ah, I'm home. Because home is meaningful to you. Home is where you can let your hair down. You can be yourself. Home is where you feel relaxed. You feel a degree of protection. You feel safety. You feel comfort. But what does it mean when we talk about God being our home? Friends, it means this. It means that we know him personally. We know the living God personally. And when God is said to be my home, and I find my abide, my dwelling in him, my abode in him, it means that I know him. I have fellowship with God, the living and the true God. You know, man does not know God by nature. And the reason for that is because of our sinful hearts. And sin separates us from God. And so if I, as a human being, in my sinfulness, ever hope I'm going to be at home with God and be with him, something has to happen to my sinful nature and state. It has to be removed. It has to be dealt with. And how can that happen? How can I find my homestead in God? My friend, it is only by the sacrifice and the merit of the cross of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he has given his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the truth of the gospel, and it speaks of the love of God to a lost world. The Lord wants us to be with him. Friend, today, the Lord wants you to make him your home. He wants to be your dwelling place. But our sin must be removed. And we must take the sacrifice that he has provided for the removal of our sin. And that is found only in his Son. Do you want to know how much God loved you? He loved you so much, friend, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you. Do you deserve that? Do I deserve that? I deserve nothing but to be judged for my sinfulness. But God placed that judgment upon his Son instead of upon me. And he has opened the door of salvation for us. And today we can know the joy and the peace of sins forgiven and of salvation. Oh, friend, this is what our dear sister Karen knew. And this is what we can know today. The Lord has said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In John chapter 3, it's cited as being born again. What does that mean? It means to be born from above, from heaven. And it means to have a new spiritual life. Oh, the old human frame, it's still the same. We have, and when this body is finished, it will go into the ground like everybody else's. But the difference for the Christian is that our soul, our spirit, is going to ascend unto God who made it. For all spirits and all life are accountable unto him. And so, I ask you today, are you at home with the Lord or not? I think of home and I think of a place that means safety, protection. And that word dwelling place in Psalm 90 verse 1, it has the meaning of refuge. And so you seek to a place of refuge for what reason? For protection, for comfort. And so when God says, I am your dwelling place, he is the place of our protection. He's the place of Karen's protection. He is our fortress, our rock. And my friends, abiding in him, we are abiding in his love. We are abiding in his care, his protection. The shell, it'll be left behind. You know, when God created man in the beginning, he made him as from all the elements of the ground, and there was this man lying on the ground without life. How did this man live? We are told that God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And it is God's Spirit that gives us life. And without the life of God, we have no life. And so as we come to Christ Jesus, he has given to us his life as he died on the cross and rose again. So we have the joy and the peace of living with him. We will not be cast off in a lost eternity if, my friend, you call upon him. If you repent of your sin and say, Lord, come and help me. I read this one thing and I'm done. Dr. Edward Payson, a man of God, a minister, 44 years of age, just a couple of weeks before he died, he wrote to his sister Eliza, and he said these words, "The celestial city is full in my view. Its glories beam upon me. Its breezes fan me. Its odors are wafted to me. Its sounds strike upon my ear, and its spirit breathes into my heart." He said, "The Son of Righteousness," a name for the Savior, "the Son of Righteousness has been gradually drawing nearer and nearer, appearing larger and brighter as he approached, and now he fills the whole hemisphere, pouring forth a flood of glory." My friend, this man was at home in God. This man knew the Lord. He knew Christ. And I leave with you today, is that your present state? Are you at home in the Lord? You can be. And Christ has made the way. And as I stand before you as a minister of the gospel, I stand in the place of the Lord speaking his word to you, but I also stand here in the place of Karen, because if she could stand here today and speak this word to you, she would say, tell them clearly, tell them that God is my home, Tell them that I am at home with the Lord now. Tell them that they must repent and call upon Christ, because this is the message of hope. It's the message of truth and freedom. Friend, today, call upon him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, take these words today, I pray, spoken in human weakness. And yet it is the word of God. So help us to understand. Blessed Spirit, write this upon every soul. And Lord, where there's some who have questions, some have doubts, some have, well, I just don't really get it. Oh Lord, I pray that there would be that still small voice of the Spirit of God speaking. Speak on, Lord, we pray. Hear this now, we ask, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Please take your program. We're going to sing one final hymn today before we dismiss. It is well with my soul. The man who wrote this hymn, Horatio Spafford, another man who suffered tremendous tragedy. He sent his three daughters and his wife overseas by boat after the great Chicago fire. He was an investor. He lost everything in the fire, had virtually nothing left. He was going to make a new life in the United Kingdom, so he sent his family across in the middle of the Atlantic. The ship that his wife and daughters were on were struck by another vessel, and it sank in minutes. His wife was saved. Three daughters were lost. As Horatio Spafford began preparation for his journey across the ocean to meet his wife, at the same place in the ocean where that ship was struck, he thought and penned these words, it is well with my soul. How could he say that? Because he trusted in his God. How could he say that in the light of great disaster that had just happened to his family? Because the Lord is the one who holds us up. When we abide in him, we have everything from him. Let's stand, please, to sing.
Thank you.
our prayer. Bless the family. Bless everyone gathered in this memorial service. Help us, we pray, as we continue and enjoy fellowship downstairs. Receive our thanks, Lord, for the food provided. We pray that each one will go from this place knowing that God has been here. His speaking voice follows. Give comfort and strength, we ask. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we dismiss today, we're going to ask the family please to go first and let others follow. And then you can make your way downstairs by either side of the church. There's a way, the stairwell, and we'll see you downstairs in just a few moments. Thank you.